Hi, I'm Peter Hill, and this is the D Word, where we talk dementia. Welcome along for another D Word. Glad to have your company. My guest this week has drawn on his experience of caring for his ageing parents to continue to be an advocate for unpaid carers. Mike O'Brien will be joining me right after this from Jordan Davis.
I didn't know if we were over or just on the rise. Was me thinking I could save us. Just a mirage. I was burning up a highway. It kept getting longer with every turn of these tires. She just kept getting goner, and the sky was showing no signs of rain. Ain't nothing to lay in that plane. I'm racing through the desert, thinking I could catch her, but losing ground in this Chevrolet. And it's 747 somewhere between here and heaven. And heaven knows I let her slip away. I showed up and she's gone. Guess I got to Tucson too late. I wonder if she sat there stirring vodka with a straw. Was she counting down the seconds? Or maybe having second thoughts, and was moving all made up in her mind. Would she changed it if she knew that I was racing through the desert, thinking I could catch her, but losing ground in this Chevrolet. And it's 747 somewhere between here and heaven, and heaven knows I let her slip away. Showed up and she's gone. Guess I got to Tucson too late. Ooh. Now she's on some silver wings flying, and me, I'm on the bad side of good time. Yeah. I'm racing through the desert, thinking I could catch her, but losing ground in this Chevrolet. It's 747 somewhere between here and heaven. Heaven knows I let her slip away. I showed up and she's gone. Guess I waited too long, like a sad country song. Damn, I got to Tucson too late.
Jordan Davis and Tucson Too Late here on UK Health Radio. We have a great variety of shows talking about health available for listen again or download at the website www.ukhealthradio.com. And we are also available in podcast format on all major podcast platforms. My guest this week is Mike O'Brien, who campaigns for unpaid carers. When you look at the statistics, it's an enormous issue that sadly gets very little attention.
Yeah, basically. I mean, for some it can be, you know, for some you're talking $100 plus, if they're caring sort of 24/7 and they've got like a child or an adult with complex needs. It's, you can be looking at $100 plus.
Yeah, and that's, you know, obviously that's a big thing on the carer and the person they care for. Because, I guess you can feel really isolated.
Yeah. And especially during the pandemic, I mean, a lot of carers had, they had services sort of pre-pandemic. And then during the pandemic, all of the services were stopped. And now they're sort of like coming out of the pandemic. A lot of them services are still yet to sort of restart up. So, they're still basically carrying on their own. No no sort of outside support or anything like that.
Sure. I had carers say to me that the effects of COVID and during a pandemic and having the lockdowns and all that stuff, the inability to go out, was actually, you know, people might actually realise now what my life pre-pandemic and post-pandemic is going to be like, because it is going to be like being in lockdown. You know, I mean, you know, tell us a little bit about your experience of, you know, caring for your elderly parents.
It can vary from day to day. You know, some days can be good, other days are not so good. And like I said, I mean, during the pandemic, it was hard. We were shielding, so we were basically sort of like, you know, stuck in the house staring at the same four walls for months on end, not knowing when the lockdowns were going to end. And then one lockdown would end and you'd get some freedom, and then, you know, another lockdown would kick in. And I mean, the thing is with like ourselves and a lot of other people that were shielding, the first sort of lockdown ended and people started getting back to some sort of normality, but those that were shielding were still advised to sort of like stay at home and stay indoors. So basically, you know, it was like, you know, there was two halves to society, the half that could go out and get on with their lives, and then, you know, you got the other half of, you know, those that were on the shielding list that were still at home.
Yeah, and I guess got very little recognition of that as well, because, you know, the main thing was, you know, we're getting back to normal, COVID is on the way out or whatever. But, you know, I didn't see too much in terms of recognition of those people that were still left to shield.
No, basically people that were shielded were pretty much, you know, sort of left to it and pretty much abandoned. And, you know, they had the sort of the clap for the nurses and the fire brigade and the key workers and what have you. But there was like nothing for carers and, you know, those that they were caring for. You know, there's, I don't know, I mean, government. I think government did sort of begin to recognise unpaid carers during the pandemic, but then, like, now that we're coming out of the pandemic, it's as if, you know, we don't exist anymore. We're sort of like falling off the political table.
Yeah, it's, you know, obviously it's very frustrating. And also, you know, I see lots of statistics about money and, you know, how much the NHS needs, et cetera, et cetera. I see statistics about what carers save the system, but I rarely see the two put together. So you've got the kind of the NHS budget and you've got how much carers save, but I don't, you know, I rarely see the two put together in some sort of format.
No, I've never seen the two together. It's always, you know, this is the NHS budget, and then in some other report you'll see this is what carers save NHS and social care a year. But like you say, well, they're never compared together. I mean, I think at last count, Carers UK did a sort of like a working out of it, and I think, sort of carers save the NHS and social care, and in turn the government, probably double what the NHS budget is.
Yeah, which is, you know, it's crazy, really, isn't it? Because it, you know, it kind of seems to me that the whole care system is held up by a bunch of unpaid volunteers. Because, you know, you remove that layer of carers and the whole thing's just going to fall down like a bag of dominoes.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. If unpaid carers suddenly just if you know they all turn around tomorrow and said, right, that's it, over to you, government, the NHS and social care system would collapse under its own weight, because it just wouldn't be able to cope with the influx of of new patients or new clients.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's helping in so many ways because we hear about kind of bed blocking and people that can't be discharged because there's not, literally nowhere for them to go. But, yeah. You know, carers provide a, you know, real service in that respect as well as just keeping the wheels turning.
Yeah. It's also about not putting pressure on unpaid carers to take a, to have a person discharged before the care package is put in place. Because it's sort of like, I think the English government has sort of followed suit as with the Welsh government. And, you know, they've sort of said, well, you know, a patient can be discharged to home prior to the care package being put in place. But then, they don't give a time scale to say, well, you know, but we'll put the care package in place within 14 days or whatever. You know, so basically unpaid carers could take somebody that's been discharged and be waiting months and months for the care package to be put in place. Or another thing they've also said is that if they can't be discharged to home and they're going to be discharged into a care home, they can basically be put in any care home. It doesn't matter whether it's their first choice or not. Mm. And I mean, we all know that some care homes are better than others. I mean, you know, you could end up in a really poor care home rather than the one that you wanted to be put into, because that one's got no spaces for you at the minute.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
It's been a year since I've been back to Sarasota. My grandparents are getting older, and if I had to guess, it's been a year since my best friend had her baby girl. Now she's got a whole new world, and I ain't even met her yet. I've kept my head down grinding, just looked up and realized it. Damn, it's been a year, and I ain't saying it ain't been a good one. Been a did a lot more than I thought I could want. It's been 365 record lows and record highs, loving and losing, fun and confusing, praying and shifting gears. For the minute you got is probably a lot more than you wanna hear. So all I'll say is, it's been a year since I watched him walk on out that door, and I wish I'd fought a little more. Still feels like yesterday, but it's been a year. And now he's at her place 5 nights a week, and that feels kinda quick to me. But I guess it's been a year, and I ain't saying it ain't been a good one. It's been a diddle. Thought I could want. It's been 300.
loving and losing, fun and confusing, praying and shifting gears. For the minute you got is probably a lot more than you wanna hear. So all I'll say is, it's been a year. Yeah, it's been a year. Before we raise a glass up to the next one. Yeah, looking back, it's damn sure been the best one. So cheers to 365 record lows and record highs. Loving and losing, fun and confusing, praying and shifting gears. For the minute you got is probably a lot more than you wanna hear. If you're hanging around, I can tell you about it, but it might take another beer. 'Cause it's been a year. Yeah, it's been a year.
Ashley Cook and It's Been a Year here on The D Word. Well, we'd love to hear from you, and particularly if you've got a story to tell and would like to be my guest one week on the show. We're on social media at Radio TDW on Twitter, the Radio TDW Facebook resource page, or by email to tdwradio@gmail.com. My guest this week is campaigner Mike O'Brien, and we're talking about unpaid carers. Sadly, the social care system often relies on drastic measures when it comes to releasing people from the hospital, something that caused significant issues during the pandemic. With a system that is obviously failing, why have carers not gained the recognition they deserve?
I honestly couldn't tell you why governments don't recognise us. I think basically all they're thinking about is the money that we save them every year. And as far as they're concerned, that's the most important thing. I mean, you know, they come out on like Carers' Rights Day or Carers Week, which is in June, July every year, and you know, they come out and say, "Oh, you know, yes, we're grateful for unpaid carers. We understand the great pressures we're under. We're grateful for everything they did during the pandemic." And you know, they come out with all these sort of warm words and platitudes, but then at the end of the day, there's never any real action. It's like, for example, I think it was towards the middle of last year, they had there was a debate around carers' allowance, only because one of the petitions about it had reached the threshold for it to be debated. And so, you know, it was debated, but that was it. You know, nothing came out of it. Carers' allowance wasn't increased or... it's just, I don't know, I just don't understand why they won't recognise the contribution that unpaid carers make to society in general.
It kind of fools me. You know, this show is based around dementia. We had a dementia strategy in 2012, I think it was, that David Cameron brought in. And to my mind, not a lot's changed, really, with the people that I speak to. It's a kind of perennial problem of being a carer. And, you know, it just seems to go year in, year out, and nothing really seems to change.
Yeah, it's the same in Wales. I mean, the Welsh government produced a unpaid carer strategy. I can't remember now whether it was last. I think it was last year, and they also brought out an unpaid carers charter. But nothing's changed. There's been no. We get the Welsh government saying, "Oh, we've put money into respite. We've put money into this. We've done that." But none of it's actually improving the life of a carer or the person that they care for. I mean, for example, it's like the respite that they keep going on about. That's fine if you can take the respite for But for people that have got a child or an adult with complex needs, for them to be able to take the respite, they need somebody that can come in and provide alternative care for that person. And I mean, as we know at the minute, social care is it's in crisis. It's broken, really. So actually getting somebody to come in is nigh on impossible at the moment.
Yeah, almost seems you want to get someone in government and actually shove them in a house with someone who's caring for someone with complex needs to actually recognise what's going on here. You know, from a dementia point of view, we have laudable things like the dementia choir and, you know, those kind of things that hit the TV. But I've kind of yet to see something that really goes on to the inside of, you know, what the nuts and bolts of what it's like caring for someone with a really complex need.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what a lot of carers have said for a long time. You know, if you go into, you know, if you truly want to recognise and value unpaid carers, come and do an unpaid carer's, fulfil their role for a week. Or, I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think most politicians would last the day, let alone a week. I think, you know, half a day they'd be packing their bags and going back home to their big houses and their expenses and what have you.
Yeah, and it's a double-sided coin, isn't it? It's the caring for the loved one or the person you're caring for. And often that leads to carers neglecting their own health because they're concentrating so much on the person they're caring for.
Yeah, definitely. You know, like I say, I mean, I know a lot of carers that have sort of put their own health on the back burner and, or, you know, that they might need to go in for, for example, there's one lady I know that needs surgery, but for her to be able to take the surgery, she needs somebody that can come in and look after her lad while she recovers, and that's just not happening. So basically she has to put the surgery on the back burner and wait until, if there ever is an improvement in the social care crisis, which under the Conservative government, I don't think there ever will be.
I can never hate you, even if I try. Girl, I love you too much, and I've loved you too long to fight. It ain't always a bad thing saying goodbye. And the last thing that I wanna be is a waste of your time. There's nothing I
you think it's your fault, but it's
great song, Brett Young and You Didn't, from the album of the same name. This week I'm joined to my guest, Mike O'Brien, a Gambaina for Unbaid Carers' Rights. Mike has a big presence on Twitter. If you get a chance, do look him up. When we look at the role of unbaid carers, it's just another piece of a jigsaw where all the pieces need to come together to improve quality of life for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, for example, if you get social care sorted out, you can then focus on improving the quality of support that's out there for unpaid carers that need additional support, which in turn improves their quality of life. But I don't know, they just seem quite content to have the pieces scattered around the table rather than bringing it all together.
Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. I think kind of the one thing with caring for somebody is not only the kind of physical areas, but it's the psychological effect as well on, you know, probably both parties in terms mm-hmm. of the way relationships can change and different things happening. We often highlight that there's a kind of lack of social support for people living with dementia because everybody tends to go down the medical route, which is, you know, great, fine, let's find a cure, wonderful. But until then, I think it's the social aspects of things are really underestimated.
You know, they seem to think that, like you say, let's find a cure for it and sort that out. But in the interim, people still need to socialise. They still need to be able to get out of the house, and there still needs to be them sort of peer groups where people, like, you know, people with dementia, for example, can mix with other people and they can do activities and stuff like that. But no, they're just doesn't seem to be much focus on that, you know, and then what there is relies on sort of local authority funding or government funding, and then 2 or 3 years down the line the funding dries up and there's no, the, you know, the local authority or whatever will sometimes say, oh, well, you know, we can't fund it anymore, so it ends up having to closed down because they can't find any alternative funding for it.
Yeah, and there seems to be, you know, technology is a wonderful thing. I'm talking to you, you know, through the advances in technology. But it appears mm-hmm. that some of the major charities now are going down the kind of online support route, whereas surely if you're a carer, you know, you just want to chat to somebody.
It's like Carers UK, I mean, they do these sort of like me time things where you might get somebody teaching you salsa dancing or somebody teaching you yoga moves or something like that, which, I mean, you know, that might be good for some people, but like you said, there's that social aspect where you just want to be able to get out of the house, have a cup of coffee or, you know, cup of tea or whatever with somebody and just sit down and have a chat and know that you're not on your own, sort of thing.
Yeah, I think it's very important. You know, I used to run groups where, you know, carers all got together. And it was, you know, it's the isolation thing. It's thinking you're the only person that's going through this. And to actually share experience with people who've gone through it and share stories is so, so important.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, sort of during the pandemic, I think sort of connecting with other carers on Twitter and through social media and things like Zoom and Teams and what have you, you know, it basically saved the sanity of a lot of people because I think, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, I mean, if this had happened, I don't know, say this has happened in the early 80s or something, we'd have been totally isolated because we didn't have the technology that we have now. And so, you know, technology has been good in some ways, but in other ways it's also not so good because, you know, it takes away that social aspect of meeting with other people in the real world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Haven't heard that for a while. Garlin Carter and Easy From Now On, which is something it definitely isn't for unpaid carers. Technology has definitely made communication easier, as well as social media, where you'll find a big dementia community all trying to push things in the right direction. When it comes to unpaid carers, though, it also seems to expect all carers to be of a certain age, when there is a generation of young carers who have to balance their lives around caring for a loved one and going to school or college.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, there's, like I said, there's, you know, there's carers of all ages, and there seems to be, there seems to be sort of like groups for younger carers, and then you've got groups for sort of older carers, and then put that sort of group in the middle, sort of 25 to 50, 60. It just seems, you know, it's as if that group doesn't exist, sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of younger carers out there. Like I say, I'm not sure of the stats around how many there are. I mean, we might get a better idea when the census information is released, because I think it's the 13th of this month. I think they're going to release sort of like the age, gender, and demographic area of carers and what have you. You know, there's going to be more details, and we might have an idea then of how many younger carers there are. But again, I don't believe the census data. I think there's a lot of carers that haven't filled in the question about caring, because for it to drop, I don't believe that there's been a drop in the amount of carers. If anything, there's been an increase since the pandemic, because, you know, you've got people suffering with long COVID, or, you know, people that have been affected in other ways by COVID, because, I mean, we now know COVID can affect you in lots of different ways. So, you know, they're going to need people to care for them. So, you know, if anything, I'd say the figure's gone up by a significant amount rather than come down by, I think they claim it had come down by something like 600,000 people, which to me isn't right.
Yeah, I guess, you know, lies, damn lies and statistics, as was famously quoted. I mean, you know, if you were in a room with Rishi Sunak, what would you say to him?
More support for unpaid carers and the people they care for. Increase carers' allowance significantly, and change the eligibility rules around carers' allowance, because there's a lot of carers that sort of have an underlying entitlement to carers' allowance, but because of other eligibility rules that sort of come into play, they can't actually make a claim for it, because they've reached pension age, or the person that they care for, if they claim carers allowance, the cared for person would have their benefits reduced. So, you know, full-time student, if you're doing a full-time university course, you can be doing that and caring for, say, your mother or your grandmother or your grandfather or whoever. But because you're in full-time education, you can't claim carers allowance. So, you know, and again, it's like with the pension thing, you know, just because you've turned 65 or whatever pension age is now, it doesn't mean that you're no longer providing care for somebody. You still are, and you probably will be until that. You know, if it's like a child, you're probably going to be caring for that person until the day you die. There definitely needs to be some big changes around carers' allowance, but I honestly don't think they will.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was on the end of trying to fill a form in for carers' allowance, and, you know, good luck to anybody who gets through this 40-odd pages or whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, the forms
was, you know, kind of crazy in itself. It's just such a frustrating world that, you know, if the points that you made, simply if someone took notice of those points, then the whole thing would start to change. But I guess the one thing you find really difficult to do as a carer is actually shout about it, because you've got your hands full with everything you're doing. And to actually take time out of that to then campaign for things to get better is kind of really, really difficult.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, at the minute we've got all these, you've got the Enough is Enough campaign and protests in London and Cardiff and Manchester and wherever, and all these strikes and what have you. But then, you look at unpaid carers and we can't go out on the streets and protest, or we can't take strike action. But it's like, again, it's as if our voices don't count. And I did actually try and connect with the Enough is Enough campaign and say, can you sort of like consider unpaid carers in your campaign? And I just basically got blanked, nothing, no replies to my emails, my tweets, they just blanked me.
Yeah, it's, frustrating. I think it's probably to say the least in terms of those things, because it takes a lot, doesn't it, to just open up the avenues of dialogue with politicians, people in charge of social care, etc. Because I guess from their point of view, with a system that's failing, they've got so much on their plate, it's very difficult for them to then listen to another group campaigning.
Again, like you say, trying to get your voice heard by politicians, it can be a lot of the time you've got to sort of be able to persist with your efforts to try and get them to speak to you and hear your voice. But again, it's finding the time to keep on at them and get them to eventually sit down and listen. But it's a never-ending battle, really.
Yeah, certainly. Well, sadly, time's bringing us to a close, Mike. It's been fascinating, and thank you from all the unpaid carers for what you're doing to try and just raise the issue, and hopefully one day someone will put two and two together and take a bit of notice.
Hopefully, yeah. Just have to keep grinding them down, I think, until they do.
In a timber town where trees were not the only things that was falling down. Breezes through the pines was blowing bittersweet. They blew the papers down the dead end street. She married a boy soon as she got out of school, but he turned out to be a reckless fool. And gone are the days when she was worried. She's a single mom, she's only 23, and she's waiting tables, she's just waiting tables. She learned a lot about people, more than she ever wanted to know. She's just waiting tables. tallies up her tips. She sighs, dear Lord above, there must be more than this. Someday she'll see this misery in her rearview mirror. But for today she'll find a way to get along right here. And she's waiting table, she's just waiting table. She's learned a lot about people, more than she ever wanted to know. She's just waiting tables, waiting tables, biding her time till there's somewhere else to go. One rainy night, a handsome man came in, said he was bound for parts unknown. They talked and talked table. Another year or two, she'll be moving on. She's just waiting tables, waiting tables, holding her on till something better comes along. Waiting tables, just waiting tables, biding her time till something better comes along.
Donna Henley from the album Cass Country and Waiting Tables, bringing this week's edition of the D Word to an end. Many thanks to Mike, and hopefully his and everyone else's campaigning will finally result in unpaid carers getting the recognition they deserve. That's it for this week. Thanks as always to our production assistant Angela. Next week my guest will be Dr. Janice Ransom from the University of Exeter, and we're going to be talking about the new evidence-based roadmap for brain health services. So until then, thanks for listening and take care now.